This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Thursday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Technology Thursday. Would you be willing to live in a 3D printed house? Hasbro is coming out with some new products, but they're very retro, sort of new old products. Twitter says it expects to double revenue in the next 2 years. The market is loving that. Right now, the weekly tally of jobless claims shows some promise. We're joined by Richard DeKayser, chief corporate economist at Wells Fargo. Richard, good to have you back on the show. Kind of give us a thumbnail sketch of the jobless claims and why maybe this is a good sign.
Yeah, hi, Cisco. Well, claims backed down a little bit in the latest month. That's the month ending last week. I'm sorry, the latest week ending last week. But that was after a little bit of a surge. The good news here really is that we're, you know, short-term effects here, like weather, can very much introduce a lot of volatility. Last week, as I said, we saw a big increase. I think the read through this is that we do have a modest declining trend. In other words, the labor market is getting better. Not booming, but sort of turning around from the dismal conditions we saw in the final months of last year. Encouraging, but not definitively booming.
Yeah, and so what that's going to take is, would you say maybe several reports in a row of fewer jobless benefits? That's really what we're looking for?
Yeah, that's it. And also, I think, next week we're going to get the government's more important report, by the way. The claims numbers just speak to layoffs activity. Of course, the other side of that equation is hiring activity. Next week, we'll get the government's first print on total job gains or losses in the month of February. I think the financial markets are going to be very interested in that number and see if we can maybe pick up the pace from what's been a modest improvement so far this year.
Job openings as well. Is that important to see companies that want to hire people?
Absolutely. There's filling the bucket and then draining the bucket. The claims drain the bucket, but the new openings and hirings fill it. And the two together are what matters most. So we've seen some skittishness amongst employers when COVID took a surge in the final months of last year. But with the recent trends being so very, very, very favorable, that should turn around and we should see hiring pick up this year.
We keep hearing that we'll end up with a stimulus deal. Who knows what it'll be in, what'll be in it. Are we still at a point, given these jobless claim numbers, we still at a point where we probably need something to juice the economy?
I think that's true. We're probably not looking back to normalish conditions regarding the disease until the summer. And there's a few months between here and there, and there's always the risk that we could see a relapse. Whether we need the very, very large $1.9 trillion the White House is proposing is another matter. I don't think so. But regardless, we do need some more stimulus until we've got this COVID infection beaten back.
Thanks so much, Richard DeKayser. He's chief corporate economist at Wells Fargo. Just ahead, investors react to word that Twitter expects a significant revenue jump. And later in the show, 12:31, we'll find out what's going on with GameStop as that stock is surging again. For the first time, Twitter setting long-term goals for revenue and daily users. Wall Street seems to like it. At times today, the stock was up over 5%. Right now, it's up about 4% at $74.84. A share. Joining us with the latest, Scott Kessler, global sector lead at Third Bridge, based in New York. Scott, it's good to have you here. So, kind of tell us, what is Twitter doing here?
Thanks a lot, Cisco. So, Twitter actually is hosting an investor meeting today, and ahead of that event, they put out some longer term goals, and it's, as you indicated, not something that you know, we've seen a lot of from the company. And I think people are not only encouraged by the details they're receiving from the meeting, but also that they're putting out these longer term goals and what they consist of. And they spoke specifically about looking to essentially double their MDAU, that's monetizable daily active usage, that's a proxy for daily users, and they're looking to essentially double that number from 152 million as of Q4 2019 to 315 million or more by the end of 2023. And then in addition to that, they talked about doubling revenue from the 3.7 billion in 2020 to 7.5 billion by the end of 2023.
And Wall Street must believe that Twitter is actually able to get this done, because, I mean, anyone could say we're going to double this, but if you don't believe it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think companies tend to be pretty conservative when they put out these kinds of pronouncements. And so I think the expectation is that if Twitter is putting it out there, they're reasonably confident of their ability to achieve this. And honestly, saying that in the context where we're looking at this point out, you know, a couple of years and indications of strong growth, I think are, you know, being positively responded to.
And going forward, is it not only getting more engagement from current users, do they still have to build getting more people involved in the platform?
Yeah, look, I mean, that's been a primary goal for management over the last number of years. I think it's fair to say that when you look at a Facebook approaching 3 billion users worldwide, Twitter still recently, I believe, at below 200 million in terms of that MDAU metric I referenced, there's work to do. And they've been perceived, I think, somewhat rightly so, as maybe a more of a niche offering. So to be able to talk about this sustained level of growth from now into and through 2023, I think that's encouraging for some people.
Is there any sort of a fear? Obviously, all social media and big tech more generally have been in the crosshairs in Washington. Is there any fear that any changes, anything that Congress might do, could put a hiccup in this plan?
Absolutely. I think when people consider, you know, the most significant risks for these kinds of companies, and Twitter in particular, I think legal and regulatory is probably at the top of the heap. When you consider the fact that it seems like members of both parties, people across all types of government roles, have been closely scrutinizing and in some cases criticizing these companies for essentially how they've acted over the last couple of quarters and couple of years, I think that definitely has to be considered a notable risk. That being said, I think people understand that these companies have had the experience of working with government entities before and have a lot of resources to work through that, perhaps more so than upstart competitors.
Thanks so much, Scott Kessler, Global Sector Lead at Third Bridge. Again, Wall Street liking what Twitter's saying. The stock up about 4% right now. Up next, Target is just the latest retailer to embrace the shops-in-shops strategy.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Target is set to open mini Apple shops in some of their stores. The move will nearly double the number of Apple's retail locations. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide. Jan, it almost seems like some of these big box stores are becoming mini malls in place of the big large scale malls.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that. And, you know, Best Buy was the one that I think did it best first, because they did that with a whole lot of different units inside of their store so that they could soak up sort of the extra space. Now, it's hard to argue that Target has extra space as good as their business has been, but we know that they're growing really, really rapidly online versus in store. So they probably will have extra space. So they've been filling that up with Levi's store. They've put in now an Apple store, which, as we all know, is the most popular thing at the mall. So they had a Disney store already inside the store, and that's done really well for them. So I think they're all looking at it going, this place will be more exciting. It'll be more fun. I can have a little more upscale merchandise. I can give a little better feel inside the store, because when you walk into the little shop, it sort of seems like you're in a shop. And I've seen the schematics for the new Apple one, and it's a cute little shop, and I think it'll do really well for them. They're also putting in, as you know, Ulta, right, the cosmetics company.
And what they're trying to do is just literally get people in the door, right? I mean, Target's done well with online, and there's still a lot of people at bricks and mortar, but if you get more people in the door, it can only help you.
It's true for everybody. The most precious thing right now for most of these companies is footsteps in the door, because the business is moving so fast online. And yet we all know you buy more stuff when you're in the store, as we've all done. And so they want to get you in there. And so if they can have these interesting little stores inside, these great little vignettes of very well curated product and interesting stuff, you'll come in. And if you come in, you'll buy other stuff as you walk by it to get to those little sweet stores. And you'll buy stuff out of the store, too. So, yeah, it should help all of their sales, as well as probably help their online sales. Because as we've discovered, the more you're buying in the store, the more you're also buying online, because you become a loyal customer.
So in the end, this helps helps Target more than it helps Apple, right? I mean, Apple doesn't necessarily need this.
Well, you know, I would have said Apple doesn't necessarily need this, and I think you're right. It's better for Target than Apple, but clearly Apple wants to do this, and they think it's going to drive the brand and drive the connection to the customer. And so they're going to play, and, you know, I think this is also, when you look at these stores, it's probably better for Disney to be in the store than it is for the business it does for Target. But in this case, I say it's better for Target than it is for Apple, but everybody benefits. They wouldn't be doing it otherwise.
Thanks so much, Jan Rogers Niffin, CEO of J. Rogers Niffin Worldwide. Target stock down about 1% today, 185.20. Apple stock down 3% at 121.55.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Another congressional committee is pushing for answers in the mob attack on the Capitol. Prospective homebuyers are finding there are too few houses for sale in the country. Maybe some home buyers might be interested in a 3D printed house. We'll look at that in Technology Thursday. Hasbro sharing its plans for dozens of films and television shows based on its iconic brands. On the markets, the Dow down 425 points, NASDAQ down 353, and the S&P is down 72 points, oil down a third of a percent. Sunshine throughout your day. High today, right about 40 degrees. It's basically where we are now, 38 at O'Hare, Midway, and along Chicago's lakefront. Another House committee is looking into what went wrong, allowing the deadly attack on the U.S. Capitol to happen last month, and what can be done to ensure it never happens again. Acting U.S. Capitol Police Chief Yogananda Pittman told House Appropriations Committee members there was no clear indication of the size and scope of the militia that would storm the building.
Although we knew the likelihood for violence by extremists, no credible threat indicated that tens of thousands would attack the U.S. Capitol. Nor did the intelligence received from the FBI or any other law enforcement partner indicate such a threat.
Chief Pittman says the Capitol attack exposed several security problems that are now being fixed. Fewer Americans signed on the dotted line to buy a home last month, an indication of how hard it is to find property to purchase these days.
The number of Americans who signed contracts to buy homes declined again in January as inventory struggles to keep up with demand. Pending home sales dropped nearly 3% to 123 million properties, which was still a record high for the month. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell tells Congress the central bank won't begin raising interest rates until it believes it's reached its goals on maximum employment and inflation. Powell is warning many who'd worked in industries hardest hit by the pandemic and ensuing recession will likely need to find different jobs. Powell says the Fed is in no hurry to raise today's benchmark short-term interest rates or to begin trimming its $120 billion in monthly bond payments used to put downward pressure on longer-term rates. Stocks trading, let's see, down 451 on the Dow right now, 372 on the NASDAQ, and down 78 on the S&P. Down all around significantly. Let's see what's going on here. Brian Perry is senior editor at BrianPerryInvesting.com. Brian, what do you make of this tumble today?
Well, we're in a period of volatility, Cisco, here. You've got a number of fluid dynamics simultaneously occurring that are raising the level of volatility, you know, across the board. And this is actually a longer term, a healthier development here. There's always a transition when we get into an upright market because of the economy improving. You know, the Atlanta Fed recently raised their GDP forecast from 4.5% to 9.5% for the first quarter. So that's the first thing that got people's attention. You've got WTI crude prices trading above 63, copper and industrial metals trading at multi-year highs. Those prices, as well as there's a powerful rotation taking place where high beta tech stocks that have been the big leaders of the market are now giving way to the deep value and cyclical sectors as preferred areas of opportunity. When that happens, then you're going to get some shakeout here. And certainly with the FANG stocks and the bigger names like Microsoft and Adobe and the big semiconductor names that have led this market and really, you know, carried the torch for the past year. They came into this year, you know, and they plateaued somewhat here, and now you're starting to see the bigger names start in the industrial space, whether it's, you know, the Boeing and that, which is actually a good looking stock down at this level now. But, you know, the financials certainly have really woken up, and the XLF, which is the iShares financial ETF, which has, you know, all your big names in there like Berkshire Hathaway, JP Morgan, B of A, Wells, you know, Citigroup and Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, and those names, that's broken out to an all time high just this past week and a half. Now that's significant because this is a very this sector's lagged for years. And what's interesting is it's breaking out at a time when rates are only at 1.5% on the 10-year. Now, today what got people spooked was the 7-year auction did not go that well. The bid to cover was like only 2.04 right now, which, you know, that's not a great sign. So the market's appetite for this kind of debt is showing signs of like a little caution here. So the Fed's in there having to buy a good chunk of what's being, you know, pushed out the door. And that's, you know, that's going to be par for the course going forward. So you've got the market being spooked here with the 10-year going up through 1.150 for just temporarily, and then it's pulled back right now. But volatility's up, and we're going to get this rotation here. But bear in mind, in historically speaking, interest rates will rise as the economy improves. That's just a natural course of events. And then you will see actually the market continue to carry higher as long as inflation really doesn't, that genie doesn't get out of the bottle in a big way. And we had Jerome Powell talking about inflation being more of a transitory type of effect that's taking place right now, but not something that we're just going to see it come rising out. You've got too many deflationary pressures created by technology, okay, and the advances in technology will continue to maintain, high inflation at the wage level, at the labor level. So those things said, you know, we're getting just a rebalancing here, if you will. Money's not leaving the market. It's just moving into other sectors of the market.
Well, it sounds encouraging, right? Yeah. I mean, because some people on a day like today, they kind of start freaking out. It sounds like you're more encouraging.
I'm very encouraged by what you're seeing here. You want to see the market broaden out. You don't want to see just the big growth names just carry the ball. You want to see these other sectors of the market really start to weigh in here. And that is happening. You know, retail numbers have been very strong for January. And, you know, we're going to see certainly, you know, again, the transportation sector is lighting it up here. And, you know, this is really where you want to see the market, again, see more sector participation. Materials, have really participated well here. And so I like what I'm seeing here. I think, you know, the Dow hit a new all-time high yesterday, which is indicative of the fact that it's just not a tech-rich market anymore. There's other things that are going on, and that's positive. So, we're going to go into a period here where we're consolidating. There's a lot of rotation going on, and it creates volatility, but it also creates great opportunity for people on days like this when you can go in there and look at some of these these big names, the industrial names that may give you a chance to buy them down.
Yeah, it's one of the things people often don't think about, the fact that down days are buying opportunities. Thanks so much, Brian Perry. He is senior editor at BrianPerryInvesting.com. Good to have you with us. Up next, Technology Thursday, we explore how home builders are using 3D printed technology in the construction process. Would you live in a 3D printed home?
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
You can always find a podcast of the Noon Business Hour on our website, WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app. It's Technology Thursday. We're looking at how the industry, housing industry specifically, is implementing 3D technology to build homes. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media. Paul, so soon we'll be living in 3D printed homes. Is that right?
We will be if we want to save a whole lot of money. And by the way, not make necessarily any particular compromises other than not having to negotiate with a general contractor for a week about whether or not the kitchen sink went in right or not, and so on. In other words, there are potentially, especially, and this is really important, there is a huge labor shortage right now and very high material costs in the housing industry. And so building a house just takes more time, it takes more time, pardon me, to find people and so forth to get it done and so on. This 3D printing technology, which a lot of people are familiar with it when it comes to small objects, has been expanded dramatically to housing size. Imagine two tracks, one on each side of where the house will go, and something with a spout that basically pushes out concrete in a precise computer-controlled pattern, and out comes a house. So it saves huge amounts of time, and the cost per square foot is like about $200 a square foot, which is, anybody who shops for houses in Chicago knows, that's low. So anyway, it's quite a step forward.
And that ultimately is what drives things. I mean, if you can get a house that is solid and you can pay a lot less for it, well, why wouldn't it take off?
Exactly right. I mean, a new home that this one company is building right now, SQ4D is the name of the company, S like Sam, Q like question, and 4D, they are building a house, a 1,500 square foot house that's going to list at under $300,000. Now, 1,500 square feet is not a giant house, obviously, but the fact is it goes way up, and it's half the price of comparable houses built in the area. I've saw the footage I saw of the actual machine, this autonomous robotic construction system, ARCS, it was very strange, I'll say that. They had a cello as the soundtrack underneath it, and there was a shot of a construction worker standing there drinking coffee while the house got made. So as you can imagine, that's pretty amazing that somebody can just watch it happen. But the real thing, the thing that's amazing is it happens so quickly. Within a matter of a week, the frame of the house and all of the conduits for the electronics and everything else are done. And so you can then put on their customizing features. But in essence, it's extremely inexpensive, extremely fast, very solid, and obviously, you can get it done when right now it's hard to find workers.
Well, the solid part is very important. That gets reinforced by the companies doing this, because as soon as you hear new technology, 3D printing, your home is essentially made by robots, some people might be a little skittish.
Of course, but you know what? There's a model for this right now, which is slower. Pun intended, by the way, which is modular homes, right? There are homes that are essentially built in large factory or warehouse settings so that weather doesn't interfere with the construction time, all those other things, and they get trucked in pieces to the building site. This is one step better, and some might say, because the actual building happens at the building site, but it takes fewer workers, less time, and less cost. So it's a step forward. Are you ready for your house to be sort of squirted out of a concrete pump? I don't know, but I'll tell you what, if the result is it's less expensive and faster, I'm interested.
Does it make it easier, the 3D printing technology, for you to do custom homes this way, or is that just more complicated? I mean, each 3D, I don't know if they call it a drawing or design or whatever, it would have to be different in the custom home realm.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, it's a great question. It is absolutely the most customizable home you could ask for, insofar as while it's still in the drawing stage or the digital stage, you can shape it any way you want. The machine just spits out the shapes you want. So you are building it literally down to the square inch what you want. However, I would say that, in my experience of renovating some homes, when you change your mind That's when things might get a little more complicated. So if you have this thing, if it's built out of concrete, you got what you asked for. But if you realize that the bedroom was on the opposite side when you were building it of the bathroom that you wanted, you really are going to have a harder time moving that. You can't bring in the demo guys with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, especially once the concrete sets. That makes it even more complicated,
that's
of course.
Exactly right.
Thank you. Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media. That's Technology Thursday. This time tomorrow, Entrepreneur Friday, and still to come. Hasbro is going old school.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Toymaker Hasbro has now shared its plans to produce a host of film and TV content based on some of its most iconic brands. Joining us with the latest, Tom Lason, Seattle-based media analyst. You can find him on Twitter at Tom Lason. Tom, Hasbro seems to be going old school here.
Yeah, and I think the word that you use there, iconic, is very important, very central to this. If you really look at all the titles here for their scripted, unscripted, feature films, video games, what you really see ringing through here is nostalgia. And a company's effort to turn its nostalgic games, board games, some of the things from the past, G.I. Joe, and turning them into new, interesting, digitally-based content for the younger generation. So as I look through these, I think these are things that mom and dad really enjoyed, and these are the things that they're going to try to turn their kids onto. And you've really got this multi-generational mix here with a lot of the titles and a lot of the properties that they own.
Yeah, you got, Transformers, My Little Pony. I mean, these are the things that people of my generation, I'm mid-40s, these are the things that we played with as kids. I'm just fascinated by that connection. Hey, parents, maybe you'll get your kids to play with these too.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe eventually you'll subscribe to their over-the-top service. You have to know that it's coming. I really haven't seen anything about distribution. But boy, they really are going to become a content powerhouse with feature films like Snake Eyes and Power Rangers, Dungeons and Dragons. The Magic the Gathering is a big one. Scripted series based on the game of Risk and Clue. And even things in the preschool era like My Little Pony, their big acquisition of the Canadian E1 company gives them distribution and a production house, but also properties like Peppa Pig. So there's something for everybody. I see an over-the-top streaming service coming again. How many will people pay for? I don't know. But they are making this digitization of their licensed properties and turning them into a content powerhouse. And the strategy there, pretty obvious, to bridge the generations and do some cool things with what they own.
And that creates, you talk about streaming. I mean, that creates just more content that is not available by the other streaming locations. You know, you got to get it here if you want it.
Exactly. And then you look at the integration with the video game side. Wizards of the Coast is a big production house here in Western Washington and Renton, Washington. So we're very familiar with Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons and the video game series. You take that and combine that, through the same wire with an interactive experience with content and scripted content and feature films rolling out 4 or 5 a year. And you can see the library and the breadth of experiences that the company now can deliver with this content.
Thanks so much, Tom Lason. You can find him online at Tom Lason.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.